So here we are. Welcome to another episode of The Stage Dive.
The most underrated tag team finisher in the world of professional wrestling today. And the most underrated podcast.
In the world today.
Yeah.
Yes.
After two episodes.
Agreed. Yeah. Yes. Well, not actually only after one.
We did two.
Oh, we did do two. Yeah. That's right. I forgot. Okay. Yeah. So this is the third. All right. Yeah. So anyway, here we go. Today, I'd like to talk about storylines. Storylines and telling a story. Let me rephrase. Not so much storylines, but storytelling in a match.
Right, right.
A match is supposed to tell a story.
Correct.
So when I first started, you presented me, shared, whatever.
Yeah.
How a match should go.
Right.
So why don't you share that now?
So the way I was brought up in wrestling and the way I was taught about how to tell a story in a match, it's like building a house. You have a foundation. The foundation is good versus evil, bad guy versus good guy. Then you have the walls where the good guy comes out on top because he's doing all the fancy moves, arm drags, hip tosses. He's outsmarting the bad guy. The bad guy gets tired of it. He puts up his side of the wall and starts cheating to come out on top. Then you have the climax or the A-frame for the roof building into the finish, which is right here. So that's kind of how Larry would teach us about how to tell a story. You know, good guy, bad guy, blah, blah, blah.
So the foundation then, what you're saying is basically you're establishing the heel and the baby face.
Good versus
who's
evil.
Good and who's bad.
Yeah.
And then you got the walls, which kind of build kind of
the structure.
It's kind of defines why this is a good guy, why this is a bad guy,
why
the bad guy's got to overcome. And then you got the roof, which is the climax.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the comeback, the back and forth.
Building into the finish.
The finish.
Yep.
Okay. Fair enough. Do you think fans today care more about the story of a match or just watching the moves? Because it's big. It's
wow.
It's a lot different now than like when we watched and then when we started. It's a lot more. Basically, when we started, it was the baby face would shine and then the heel would cut them off and then tag in the other heel. Then they would come in, the baby face would cut them off.
Yep.
They do a couple things and then, and obviously I'm talking about tagging at this point by saying cut off and tagging in and out. But, and then, you know, then the heel finally says, I've had enough. Boom. Cheats. Cuts the baby face off. Then there's a comeback and then there's the finish.
Right.
Now it's a lot of just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It'll be baby face shines, heel shines, baby face shines, heel shines, baby face shines, heel shines, shines. And then somehow, bam, the finish comes.
Right.
So my point of explaining all that is, do you think fans just want to see the athleticism and the moves, or do they still want to see a story in the match?
So it's funny. I feel that it's who you speak to. If you talk to somebody that just started watching WWE in 2020 during COVID and stuff like that, or later on, they're going to say, I like to see the move versus move versus move versus move. But if you talk to an old schooler, somebody that's been watching WWE TV for 30 plus years, they're going to be like, I love the good story. I love the good storylines. I love when a match, you know, gets me invested and I get taken into it and I can actually, you know, root for David to beat Goliath kind of thing. So I think it all depends on the fan, how long they've been watching for, because some of the old timers, us included, the back and forth, back and forth, back and forth doesn't, to us, make sense.
It does
entertaining to watch.
Well, yeah, it does and it doesn't. When it makes sense storytelling wise in a match today, they have to learn when to pause, when to stop, to let it sink in with the audience. Because if the audience isn't getting emotional about it, they have to get emotion out of the crowd. That's the point.
Yes.
If they're not getting that emotion, then they're not going to buy into the story
correct
of the match. So that's the thing. It's like, and even when I go to up to the NXT to the PC, like that's one of the things I tell them. I'm like, yeah, that's great. You're going bam, 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 but everyone's going like this. It's like watching a
ping pong,
a tennis match, or the Japanese people playing ping pong because it goes so fast. You got to take those moments and pause
to let it marinate, let it sink in, get your reaction, get your pop, as they say. But let it sink in, let people feel it, you know, and your reaction is part of it too when you're getting into it. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, because that's part of it. If you had to explain storytelling to a fan using one of our matches, which would you pick and why?
Oh, you know which one I would pick, and this is probably going to be.
I'm going to say. I wonder if it's the one I picked because I have one also.
The one in England.
Oh no! Go ahead. No, it's good.
Yeah, the one in England against the Boricuas. It was such an old school good versus because they were really hated over there for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, they're Puerto Rican.
It was probably because of all the hair on Miguel. I don't know
his sweater. Yeah.
Just kidding, Miguel. No, actually, we're not. I think, and we were so over there with the fans.
That pop we got that one night only was
crazy. That's the exact match I'm talking about.
I know. That may be one of the biggest pops we've
ever gotten. And it was one of the times that I can remember that Vince came over to us and was like, wow, that was great. You know, that was a really good match. Good job, guys.
Well, one of the things about it also was they gave us a lot of time.
A lot
that
of
was
time.
A long. I think that was like a 20-minute match.
I think it was too.
So we had time to
tell the story.
To tell the story.
And I think it was exact because I think it started off as they jumped us, and then we got on top, and then it went. You know, we had a lot of shine in the beginning, and there was a lot of heat.
There was a lot of heat.
There was a lot of heat.
But there was a lot of heat. With a good amount of comebacks.
Yes.
Yes.
False finishes and stuff like that of hope spots. That's the one I can remember off the top of my head that I can remember it really being a good story line.
Yeah.
Wasn't the one you picked?
The one I picked was, so do you remember it was in Ottawa. We were driving. We drove from Montreal to Ottawa, but then there was the car accident.
Yes.
The guys had a van.
Yes.
Some of the other wrestlers had a van. I think there was like six of them in the van, and the van rolled.
Yep.
And they didn't know when they were going to get there.
Yep.
And basically, we were opening a match against the Godwins.
Yep.
And Jack Lanza came to us and said, hey, I don't know how long you guys are going to go, but you're going to go until I walk through the curtain. And
we were like, yes.
And so it was us versus the Godwins, and we went out there. And I remember specifically, we went a good 12, 15 minutes without even locking up. Before even
touching, yes.
We were the heels. They were the babies.
Yeah.
We got all kinds of heat from the crowd. We were able to establish that and get the crowd so mad at us that they wanted the Godwins to rip us apart.
Yeah.
Because that was, we're going to leave. No, we're staying. We're going to leave. No, we're not going to come back. We're going to leave, that whole thing. And when we finally locked up and they got their hands on us, the place popped.
Yes.
And,
for a lockup.
And, we got their shine. We were able to tell the story. But again,
that's the foundation.
Right. We
built that foundation for them to hate us so much with a simple lockup, they popped.
Right.
Yeah.
And then from there, we were able, to get them over by letting them, arm bars. And it's crazy to think the Godwins were doing arm bars and stuff, but they were. Like, we were able to get holds. And then we literally had to cheat to start the heat.
Yeah.
And then finally they went over and the pop they got. But we went almost 45 minutes.
Yeah, I do remember that.
When do you ever go, besides these indie guys that want to go an hour? Back then, we went 10, 12
house show minutes. Yeah. Yeah,
and that was it. But we got 45 minutes to tell this amazing match, and no one will ever see it because it's not videoed.
Yeah.
No one will ever see it. But that's the one to me that sticks out the most, that we were able to tell such a story for so long. Because again, we had no idea. So there was no like, we got like 3 minutes left. You have 2 minutes left. You got a minute left.
Yeah.
We had no idea how long it was going to take for Lanza to walk out.
Right. I think for that, the match that we did in England, we had 20 minutes.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
18 to 20, I think it was.
But that's when they can find on YouTube. But the one with the Godwins, you'll never be able to see it.
Never see it. Yep.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
That's the one that sticks out the most to me.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, I remember that too.
It's a good one.
Vaguely. So, all right. So anyway, I just thought of, we haven't talked about Cody losing the belt to Drew. How do you feel about that? It's one of the things that I have seen and stuff like that. I mean, yes, it was over. Wasn't it in Drew's home country?
I think so. I'd be, just to be transparent about it, I watch Raw and NXT, and I did watch the premiere episode of TNA on AMC.
Yeah, how was that?
I don't watch SmackDown much because it's Friday night and it's tough, and I don't watch the replay. So I didn't even know Drew lost a belt or Drew won the belt from Cody until like Raw.
Okay.
So I don't really know. I mean, I like Drew. I think when he got it at WrestleMania and then lost it 3 minutes later, I thought that was kind of shitty. And I wish he would have held it longer. I just don't know. He's got to be the face to carry SmackDown now. That's the biggest question. Is he, and that, by face, I don't mean a baby face. I mean, he's now the face. Whoever has the belt, especially the belt Cody had, but Cody had's like the WWE. You're the face of WWE.
Yeah, you're the face of the company.
Is Drew able to do that?
Right.
That's the biggest question now.
I think he could be if he was put in the right scenario. Meaning, you know, he has not purpose, but he has good storylines. He's not bad on the mic.
No,
he's decent on the mic. His work is
solid,
top tier. And I mean, I think if they had a good storyline for him, kind of like what they did with Gunther, it could have some traction and longevity. But I don't see him. Every time we do this, I get coughs. I don't see him holding the belt that long. I don't know.
So if they don't let him hold it long, like long meaning WrestleMania long?
Yes.
So who beats him for the belt then?
I think it goes back to Cody.
But why?
I don't, because I think he...
Why take it off Cody to put it back on him right away?
And
here's the other thing. The belt is for either someone makes the belt.
Yes.
Or the belt makes somebody.
Right.
Cody doesn't need the belt anymore.
No, because I think Cody made that belt.
So, well.
I don't think
Amber,
Cody needed
off.
It. I don't think Cody needed the belt.
Well, he did. He did it first. But Roman made the belt.
Right, but he doesn't need it now, is what I'm saying.
No. He doesn't need it now. He needed it then. He doesn't need it now. So. Who needs it then?
Wow, that's good.
Because now they have, you know, NXT guys coming up. I saw Oba's there now. Javon Evans went to Raw, but unfortunately he hurt his shoulder last week, so I don't know what's up with that. But like Oba went to SmackDown. And Oba is a beast. Oba is going to be around.
I've heard people talking about him on social media.
He's going to be there a long time. He's going to make a lot of money. He can talk.
Does he remind you of Big E?
No.
No?
No, not at all.
What about Hobbs?
Hold on. In which way with Big E?
Just structure. The way he looks.
He's bigger than Big E. Big E's big, but he's shorter.
Yeah.
Oba's tall.
Is he really?
He's probably 6'4".
Oh, wow.
6'4".
I did not think that.
Close to 300 pounds.
Oh, wow.
He's a big boy. Strong. Can work, can talk on the mic.
What
kicker.
What did you think of the TNA?
I didn't mind it.
Production good?
It was okay. I mean, you know, it's the first one.
Yeah.
You know, things are not going to be the best.
Right.
Growing
pains.
It could be better. I turned it on. I missed the opening with AJ coming out because AJ went out to open the show.
Right.
And I missed
Mr. TNA.
And I missed the Hardys match. It was 15 minutes in when I put it on. And so I didn't see all of it, but I thought the show was solid. I don't know all of the characters because I never really watched it. So the only ones I really know are, you know, like Brian Myers, like I know Brian, you know, like, you know, the other top guys just because you've known them for a while.
Right.
So I thought it was good. Could it be better? Yeah. I didn't see Genesis on Saturday. I heard Genesis was a lot better on Saturday. So I think it's just one of those things where, you know, the good part is it's another product to watch.
Yeah.
It's more competition. They have names there. They have names there. And I saw this thing the other day, and I didn't even think about this, but it's 100% right. TNA has been around for over 20 years.
Yep.
They're the only company that has worked with all of the other companies.
Really? They've worked with AEW?
They've worked with AEW. They've worked with the Ring of Honor. They've worked with WWE. They've worked with everybody.
When did they work with?
A while back. AEW. It was COVID, I think.
Oh, wow.
I think it was COVID. So they've worked with everybody. The guys there are solid. You know, the workers they have, it's solid. It's just a matter of, okay, are they going to be able to? And it's not even viewership. It's not about getting views. It's about if you saw all the product ads, it's about advertisement.
Yeah.
If they can keep the advertisers happy, then it's going to be good because the executives for TNA don't care really about viewership. It's about.
Yeah, but doesn't that draw in advertisers?
It does, yes. But
because somebody's not going to advertise if you're five people watching.
Yeah, but the network. So the network doesn't look at it as one show.
Okay.
The network looks at the whole network as a whole. So if the entire network, if AMC is bringing in X amount of dollars that they need to bring in, even and TNA is contributing to that, then it'll be fine. But so yeah, you're right. If people stop watching, then the advertisers probably won't keep pumping money into it. But I'm just saying, as a whole, AMC, the AMC executives were happy with the product that they got out of it, from what I heard.
Says, see if I can check that out. And what time's that on?
9 o'clock on Thursdays.
Okay.
That's the only thing I do.
Oh, that's today.
I do wish it started at 8.
Past your bedtime?
Yeah.
Yeah, mine too.
It was a struggle to stay up for the main event to watch the belt change.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, but I think it's good because now you have, there's a show. I mean, it's a lot of wrestling to watch because now you have Raw on Mondays.
Yeah.
NXT on Tuesdays.
Yep.
Wednesdays is AEW. And then Evolve is on Tubi on Wednesday nights also. That's streaming. You can watch it whenever. I mean, pretty much any of it you can watch whenever you want with streaming. And then Thursdays is now TNA. And then Friday, SmackDown. And SmackDown, I heard, is going to 3 hours again.
Is it really?
So that's a lot.
That is a lot.
To keep up with.
It's almost back when we were doing it.
Yeah.
All the programming.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be good because it's going to be a lot. There's a lot of really good talent out there, and it's going to give the talent a chance to shine, to show what they can do.
100%.
And then with TNA, with, you know, the sharing with WWE, the partnership with WWE, you know, with NXT, there's a lot of back and forth going on there.
So now you said about talent. Do you think it's more important to have an opportunity or to have the talent? Because there's been a lot of untalented people that have gotten opportunities and have ran with it and have done really well.
Like an example. Because if you've done really well, you have some kind of talent.
Well, I'm not talking in-ring talent.
Okay.
So, you know, some people say, you know, Hogan didn't have much wrestling talent, but he's an icon. He is the biggest and will always be the biggest name in wrestling, I feel. But his wrestling skills weren't there. But he was given an opportunity. He took that opportunity and just changed the face of wrestling forever. That's what I'm talking about. So some of the guys that you're saying that have the talent, if they're given that opportunity, will they flourish?
I think
that's kind of where I was.
So going. I have a couple answers for that. So
that's a good question.
And right? I can only go off of what I see at the PC.
Right.
Yes. In NXT. That's the way they're being brought up.
Groomed. Yeah.
The culture at the PC is built to make them succeed.
Okay.
With the coaches that are there, each one has a different talent.
Right.
Each one brings something else to the table to teach them everything. They do promo class. They do improv classes. Like, they do everything.
Yeah.
And then they watch everything back, and, you know, you watch it, you go through the matches with them on video. So, yeah, I think so. I think some others more than others. Obviously, not everyone's going to, you know, take off and be a superstar. But I think the way they're being coached and guided and led there, yes, from what I see, most of them will. They're not all going to be, but most of them, I think, if given the opportunity, they'll be able to. And then the other thing with up there is they have like Evolve TV, which is like kind of like Shotgun Saturday Night was to NXT. Like, that's kind of what it is. So okay. They go there, and it's the same thing. You get matches. It's in front of us, you know, 100 people. So you get a little bit of a crowd experience, but you're able to get that experience and build, work your way up to NXT. The other side of it is this, is like Gunther's big thing is, I'm the best professional wrestler in the company.
Right.
He doesn't call himself an entertainer.
Right.
John Cena calls himself an entertainer. An entertainer,
yes.
So I saw a clip of Cena the other day where he was talking about a storyline he did with AJ back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to AJ and he said to him, hey, he said, why are we fighting? And AJ's like, what do you mean? He goes, there has to be a reason why we're fighting. We need something. We need, you and I need something personal to fight about. Why are we fighting? And AJ was like, I don't know. And John went, well, we got to figure it out. Think about it. And John says he went back to his bus and he goes, AJ's such the nicest guy in the world. He goes, I went on a computer and I was scouring the internet for
trying to find something.
AJ said negative about someone I know or someone like something negative about me. He goes, it was all positive. He goes, yeah. AJ's such a nice, good guy. He goes,
yeah.
I couldn't find anything. He goes, and I was getting frustrated. He goes, so 2.5 hours later, I went back to AJ and said, so what have you figured out? Have you figured anything out? And AJ goes, yeah, I think I got it. He goes, what's that? He goes, I'm a better wrestler than you are. He goes, in the ring, I'm better than you. And Cena was like, yeah. He goes, you're a better entertainer than me. And Cena's like, yeah. He goes, we both started basically at the same time.
Right.
And Cena was like, yeah. He goes, I'm hot at you because if you never existed, I'm you.
Ooh.
I just got a couple of goosebumps.
That's pretty cool.
And Cena looked at him. He goes, you're right. That's why we're fighting. He goes, you're mad at me because I took your career that you thought you could have had. I've had the career you've always wanted. You didn't have you've had a great career, but it could have been better if I never existed.
But doesn't that make Cena a heel?
No. AJ's the one mad at him. Cena's like, yeah, I was given an opportunity. I ran with it. AJ's mad at him.
See, and I look at AJ Styles and I see the total package. You know, he is phenomenal in the ring. And I think his mic work is solid.
Yeah.
So, you know, why hasn't he been champ more often?
Didn't need it.
Over enough?
Didn't need it over enough. Just maybe wasn't a draw. Could have been storylines he was in. There's multiple. We could go on all day.
Yeah.
Why? But, you know, he wasn't a top draw. Again, he's in great shape. He's a great worker.
100%.
He's shorter. So, I mean, that could be a reason why also, you know, Vince was into
the bigger guys,
the bigger guys. But let's be honest about it. If it wasn't for AJ, that X Division title in TNA would be nothing.
Nothing.
So between 100%. Him and I'm not saying it was just AJ, Christopher Daniels, Samoa Joe, all these other guys contributed to that. But, you know, that was AJ's thing. And I actually think it would be kind of cool if AJ went back to TNA and challenged Leon Slater for the X Division belt like one last time before he
walks away. I thought it was cool seeing him show up. I saw clips of that.
Yeah.
Him show up on TNA.
Yeah. And then he talked to Kazarian and he talked to Mike Santana before the title match. Amber. But yeah, I think that's the thing. But yeah, that's the thing, the entertainer side and the wrestling side. And I just thought that was cool for John to share that in an interview.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Yeah. That is pretty cool. And if
I saw him at the PC last week.
Who, John?
Yeah, he was there.
Yeah?
Yeah, they did tryouts last week. He came and talked to all the tryout kids.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'm glad to see him still semi-involved.
He's doing what we're doing. And again, we talked about this before. You never fully retire from wrestling, but you retire from in-ring action.
Right.
But that's what he's doing. So he's still around talking, helping. And they had the tryout kids. Basically, they had a minute, like 15 seconds to sell, like the coaches, and John was there watching this, a car. They had the opportunity to sell them a car.
Oh, wow.
And they got done. And one of the things, and me in sales and what I sell, this chimed right in with what I do, what John said. He goes, I won't buy a car from any of you. He goes, a car is a commodity. I can go buy a Ford F-150, whatever I want. They're all over the place. He goes, none of you sold yourself to me. I don't know who you are. I'm going to buy from someone I know and someone I like. Make me like you. He goes, that's his business. You have to make people like you. And then that's what I sell. When I'm out selling, pimping copiers and printers, I don't talk about the company. I don't talk about the copy. I don't talk about the printer. I talk about me. I get people to buy into me. So that was Cena's message to the kids at the tryout was, you got to tell the story to get people to buy into you and your personality. They have to like you. If they don't like you, they're not going to buy whatever you're trying to sell them in the ring.
Right. That's 100%.
Yeah.
And it's funny too, because he is such the guy to talk to about a career of almost not making it and then giving this
one. They're ready to fire him.
Yes. This one sliver of opportunity to rap. And he just changed his total landscape of his whole career.
That changed everything for
everything,
which was great. And then he continued to evolve from there.
Yes, 100%. And that's what I'm saying. If he wasn't given that opportunity.
Well, he
just would have been.
He indirectly made that opportunity for himself.
Right.
Because he did it on the bus.
Yes.
He did it on the bus in front of all the boys and was like.
And Stephanie was
like, yeah, and was like, fuck it. What else do I have to lose? Let me just have some fun here before I get fired. And Stephanie was like, would you do that on TV? Do you want to do that on TV? And he was like, yeah. She goes, you're going to do that on TV now. So he kind of indirectly created it himself by being himself.
Right.
Like one of the things I talk about in the book is opportunities. Like when you were hurt and I was doing the single stuff, there was opportunities being presented to me that I didn't even realize were there, but my insecurities didn't allow me to see them or kind of held me back.
Because you never did singles before.
Well, but just the insecurities inside of me. Like you and I were always together, and when you weren't there, I felt like I was on this little island by myself.
Right.
So I was like, I didn't go.
I'm sorry.
No, it's not that. It's just I'm just trying to share that he had the balls to come out of his shell and go, hey, this is who I am. Fuck it, I'm going to do it.
Right.
I didn't do that back then. Like maybe if I would have done something, things would have been a little bit different. I don't know. I'm just saying that he had the balls to do it. And like, I guess that's something that I had known or would have done. Maybe things would have been a little different.
Right.
I don't know.
I think, you know, a lot of times I look back at some of the things that we would talk about when we got done and we'd be driving to the next town or something like that. And like, we never did the politics in the locker
room. Stop right there. We're going to end this episode on that. And pick it up next time.
All right. So tune in.
Kind of AI, you have to look up there.
Oh, so tune in.
So kind of now is a retrospect, because now we both have time to think about that side of it and what we want to talk about.
Okay.
All right. That's it for the stage dive. And we'll see you next time. Peace out.